Thriving in Singleness, episode 67.
This is the Thriving in Singleness podcast, where it's not about surviving, but thriving in this chapter of your life. Here are your hosts, Tom DeLong and Joshua Erickson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Thriving in Singleness. Just wrapped up an episode with Mel New. Such an awesome conversation with her. She runs the If You Know, You Know dating site. So really cool info. She has a lot of experience with online dating and coaching people through that. I mean, what were some of your takeaways on that one, Josh?
Yeah, I think it's a great episode because online dating, right? Those two words hold so much emotions, feelings, thoughts, all of that, right? Yeah. And because everyone has a different experience, and we even touched on in the episode a little bit of it, it's about perspective. It's one person has a great perspective on it, and the other person thinks it's the worst thing in the world. And just to be able to kind of go into depth with a little bit more, you know, and she does coaching, and there's certain things there that she's able to kind of help people walk through that. But it's such a taboo topic. It's such a topic that people run from, you know, as fast as they can, if they can, or they're just kind of like, they might feel like they're just, oh, this is my life now and I have to do online dating. And all of those things can be, it's all like personal, right? It has really nothing to do with online dating. So it was good to have a conversation to kind of maybe remove some of the negativity around it when, you know, we're kind of, this is the day and age we live in. Times have changed. And I think a lot of the people that are walking through it, it's tough to see times change. But just because times change doesn't mean that what we're changing to is a bad thing. And we have to kind of start looking at, you know, is it bad? Is it good? What are the things that maybe are just misconceptions around it? So it was good to just kind of talk about online dating and have a conversation about it. And also what I really liked is we dove into the topic of hope a little bit, which to me is a huge, huge thing in walking out your singleness, is to have a good grasp on hope and not really gravitate towards hopelessness.
Yeah. And also what your hope is in, you know, whether that hope is in Christ, or that hope is toward an idolized view of even a godly marriage. So yeah, definitely it was good to unwrap that. And I think that was a good episode, but yeah, just curious, Josh, have you tried online dating?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
It's been off and on. You don't hit 33 okay. single without at least diving into it here and there. So,
all right.
I think for most people, you're going to have a lot of single people who are going to give you different responses or hesitations or all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, I think there was times when I would have been hesitant to be like, oh yeah, I guess I've tried it. But the reality is, online dating is just another way to meet people. And yeah, there's ups and downs with it, but you kind of got to disconnect yourself from, oh, if I try online dating, what does that say about me? Right. And I think there's a lot of that. And I'm glad we had a conversation around online dating, because a lot of people are almost ashamed, or they're like, oh, should I try online dating? There's a lot of like just hesitation because everyone's trying to have this perfect view of themselves. Like they want to say, oh, like, what does this say about me? And I don't want to be associated with it if it says potentially something bad. But I don't think those are just lies that we believe. Those are things that we don't have to really worry about. If you live your life and you're confident, a lot of times, who cares about some of those things when they really don't have a big say about who you are as a person?
Yeah, for sure. But definitely an awesome episode. I think we should just go ahead and we'll jump right into it. Let's go ahead and bring in Mel New. Mel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you two doing today?
Just right.
Doing good.
Great.
Yeah, good. Good day to be here. Hoping not to burn up in my third floor here too much. I had to turn the AC off for sound purposes, hopefully I'm not sweating it out by the end of this episode.
Where are you located?
I'm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So another hot and humid day.
Okay.
So how about yourself? Where are you from?
I'm in San Diego right now.
San Diego. I love San Diego.
Yes. It's
beautiful place.
Best place in the world. I love it here.
Probably appropriate. I'm wearing my In-N-Out shirt. In-N-Out Burger shirt
that.
Today.
I noticed that. I was gonna
I'm ask. A huge fan.
Yeah, huge fan. I think they only have them in like California and Arizona. I don't think they have any in Pennsylvania, do they?
No, they're in Texas. They are expanding to Tennessee.
Okay.
So they're working their way east. I'm looking forward to it.
Are you keeping track? Are you keeping track of their locations?
I do. Yeah.
We're waiting for them to hit the East Coast.
Yeah, they can only go so far from where they have their meat plant. Oh. So that way it can only go so far. They keep their meat refrigerated, never frozen. So makes for a good, tasty burger. So that's the good stuff.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Which In-N-Out did you get that shirt from?
Actually, at work, a customer had given it to me, so that was very nice of them. But I mean, when I lived in California, I definitely acquired the taste for In-N-Out, and it's stuck with me for life now. So it's good. One brief In-N-Out burger story. My wife and I, we were going to Idaho, and we had a layover in Oakland. And so we actually left the airport during our layover, took an Uber to In-N-Out Burger, got our burgers, took our Uber back to the airport, went back through security, got our next plane, and we were in good shape. So it was totally worth it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And altogether, still probably less than what we would have spent at Five Guys.
Right, especially in the airport.
Yeah. Awesome. But awesome. Mel, tell us a little bit about what you do. I know you run the If You Know, You Know dating platform. Tell us what that is and what that looks like.
Yeah. So If You Know, You Know Dating, I'll say IYKYK dating. I call it IYK dating. It's just a lot of letters to put together. And
yeah, say it 10 times fast.
Yeah, it's not as easy as my thing. And I started it with a friend beginning of 2021. And basically, it formed into a mixer company for Christians. Essentially, we went around the country running mixers and trying to bring different Christians from different communities in a city together so they could actually meet. Because I find that a lot of Christians, when they're single, they just want an area and a place to meet other Christian singles. And did that all throughout 2021, 2022. At the end of 2022, I pivoted towards more of dating coaching, which brought in some of my giftings with counseling and therapy, and just my passion for sitting with people and emotional health. And so now I do a lot more dating coaching, which I've loved, but also do still run some mixers here and there. And I'm also pivoting into trying to equip local churches on how to run their own mixers, because it's a lot of work for just one person to do. So kind of have my hands in a few different things, but really excited for what God is leading me into now.
That's so exciting. And so where are you personally? Like, are you single, dating, married? Where do you land with that?
Yeah, so I am currently single and I am dating on the apps. I'm, you know, putting myself all out there, doing all the things I tell my singles to do. And just, you know, finding that tension between being content with singleness and of course wanting to be married and kind of just riding that line and trusting God for when the person is going to come into my life and how it's going to happen too.
Yeah, definitely. So like, what are those things you tell people in their singleness to do exactly?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Or what is it you encourage them to do? I don't want to make it sound like you're super demanding, cracking the whip, but yeah, what is it you encourage people in their singleness to do? As you mentioned, you're kind of doing that yourself.
Yeah, well, I would say first and foremost, I mean, there's so many things that we can do in our singleness because we do have more time. I know that when you are married and you have a family, your devotion is split between God and your wife and God and your husband and your family. And it talks about that in the Bible. And so my biggest thing for singles is to really find out, like, what has God created you to do? What is your passion? What makes you come alive? That's one big thing. Another thing is I really encourage singles to really get real with their hearts and go through a journey of healing before they get into marriage, before they have kids, if possible. A lot of times it's relationships that are going to bring up a lot of that stuff. So you can't really completely heal or whatever, but I just know my own journey and my own story of being in a relationship when I was 27 and not even knowing all this fear that I had around dating and around being single, not dating, but around being single and things that I was waiting for, you know, kind of waiting for my life to begin. Once I'm married, then I can go do X, Y, Z. Then I can start a business because then I'll have a provider. And I really encourage singles to be like, well, what would you do if you didn't have any fear? What would God be leading you towards in your life if you were already married? And do that now and get and just pour yourself into that. And so that's a huge thing. And then also open yourself up to dating, open yourself up to love, be approachable, you know, put yourself out there, be findable as a woman, as a man, go searching. I mean, it says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Now, of course, there's always a balance between, you know, not becoming obsessed with finding a wife or obsessed with just trying to be so accessible to men at all times that, you know, you're blowing off plans with your girlfriends because this opportunity, you know, shows up. But I find in my coaching practice, a lot of the people, they're either on one spectrum or the other. Mm-hmm. And especially the evangelical Christians are typically more on the spectrum of, I'm just waiting for God to bring the person into my life. I'm just only focusing on what God has for me. And I think that it's a tactic of the enemy a lot of times to bring fear into that. Of, you know, this fear around, well, I don't want to get my heart broken. I don't want to get my hopes up. And they don't even realize it. And it's disguised as, I'm just going after God right now. And I'm like, but God's put this dream in your heart to get married. Why aren't you on the dating apps? Why aren't you asking your friends to set you up with people? Why aren't you going up to a pretty girl at the grocery store? Why aren't you smiling at guys you think are cute at a coffee shop? You know, and really it's it's a spiritual battle and it's our own woundings and our own fears that are really holding us back. And I think not making a lot of people accessible to get what they desire and to get married, get in a relationship. So there's a few different things that I like to tell singles, just depending on where they're personally at.
Yeah, definitely. Like a lot of solid points there. And, you know, one thing I've found is, well, one thing you mentioned was about not acting and how that can people, the way I look at it is they can even not take action and call it an act of faith by not doing anything, you know, waiting for God. But what does God want you doing right now? And I'm huge on taking action. I took very actionable steps that took me towards getting married to my wife. And that's an important part is, you know, God is going to open a door for you and you need to walk through. You need to find opportunity. But also, you know, one thing that I'm huge on is like, you know, do your singleness well. Be so confident in your singleness that when you can have that level of confidence, you're ready to take steps forward without fear. And without fear of rejection, without fear of things not materializing, without fear of maybe not even looking that great on your part. I don't know, but that's important is to kind of have that confidence. And it's cool that you're able to walk people through, hey, you know, it's okay to take a step and to do these things, you know, for yourself. Like, did you come to a point where you surrendered and just kind of handed it to God and just trusted him entirely in what he was doing for you?
Yeah. So my story is a little different than some, but so I did a lot of traveling right after college and I, you know, was always open to dating, was always open to, I was like, I moved to Australia for a year, New Zealand for 6 months, Costa Rica for a year. So I was really all over the place and I was like, sweet, if I find somebody here, that'd be great. But I hadn't really done a lot of my own like heart work before just because it just had never really come up. And then when I moved back to the States when I was 26, I started online dating for the first time. And I started listening to some really great podcasts around dating in general, because I grew up with very much the dating idea of like date super intentionally, only date to marry, don't just date around, which I praise God that that's what I had stuck to, because I think there's a lot of goodness in that. But I didn't even realize all this fear that I had around dating of, you know, just making it like low stakes on the first date. And I was like, I'm it. I matched with a youth pastor on my first like online dating experience. And I was just like, why do people say online dating sucks? Like, it's amazing. I just met my husband. Like, you know, everyone else is an idiot because like I'm clearly doing something right. And so, you know, went on a few dates with him and then ended up getting ghosted by him. And I was just like, heartbroken because I just put like all I was just like so sure and totally my type and everything. And it was at that point that I realized, wow, I don't really understand this whole dating thing. It's a different, I'm playing checkers while they're playing chess. Like this means like there's a different strategy with online dating. And so I've always just kind of been like a, I've had a lot of perseverance as a person. And so I think I was just like, well, you know, eventually like it's going to work. Like just, you've got to keep just trying, trying. And so I just started going a lot of online dates and listening to podcasts. And I just, I've always been the type of person to really like, just try to like research a lot and just learn a lot. And so listen to some great podcasts about let's make the point of dating just to connect and not to like always just find, you know, your husband or wife from the get-go. And that was a huge open, like, mind shift for me, and I was able to make it way lower stakes. And so for me, like, I just went on date after date after date. I think at this point I'm on like 75 dates, first dates, so the last 5 years.
Oh wow.
And it's because I've just been very open, and I haven't been like, you know, unless I always say, unless there's like really obvious red flags, I'm like, I'll go on one date. And so anyway, fast forwarding the story a little bit, I guess I didn't realize how much fear I was holding on to until I was able to walk through those that process of going on all those dates and being like, wow, what's really coming up for me right now? And I was also going through a class at the same time that was like this almost like group therapy class that I would say God tricked me into going to, because I thought it was just like a Bible study. And I walk in and they're like, this is a safe space. This is like, you know, like everyone here is respectful of each other. And I was like, wait, what did I just walk into? And it was the best thing for me though, and really got into like childhood wounds and the way my parents raised me and all those things. And so I was doing this alongside of going on all these dates, and we do these things called like a trigger worksheet where you'd have to like identify like something that triggers you and then what emotion it was connected to and what experience it was rooted to as a child and what lies you came to believe about yourself and then repenting and putting the truth in. And so I was doing all of that as I was going on all these dates. So it really just like renewed my mind as I was dating, and then got in my first serious relationship at like 27. And I really thought I was going to marry him. And again, attaching really quickly, like really soon after only a few months, and then it not working out, and really like these feelings of like abandonment and just like so much pain just came up. And I had known enough by that time of going through this workshop or this like group therapy class, I was like, okay, is this triggering more than just the breakup? And so I really leaned in, really, really like just tried to grieve that relationship and like, what is this bringing up from my past, from, you know, my relationship with my dad and my mom, and leaned into that. And just the most beautiful thing happened when I surrendered, I guess, in that way. I was like, okay, God, like, what do you want to teach me in this? Like, this sucks. And I just want to do anything to get rid of this pain. And I really had like a lot of reconciliation, even with my parents, of bringing these things up of like, hey, I think this is reminding me of these times in my childhood. And we really got to, they got to apologize to me and do their own work as it from their childhood stuff. And it was just really cool to watch like this, you know, God's design of really returning back to him and getting real with, you know, like being honest with people when they hurt us so we can have reconciliation and just experiencing the reconciliation that we have with God after repenting, turning away, turning towards God. And it was just really cool to sort out a lot of lies through that experience. And then also with that, I realized, man, like tied to this guy was all these dreams I had. Once I get married, then I can start my business because I'll have a provider. Well, that's a lie that I don't have a provider, because I do have a heavenly provider. Like God is my provider. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, I've been approaching life so wrong and God so wrong. And I need to like, and you know, you have kind of this energy from a breakup. And I was like, screw that. Like, I'm going to do everything God's way and be like, I don't need a God, like not in a, I don't need no man way, but I'm like, what dreams has God really put on my heart to go after? I remember my ex-boyfriend had asked me like, what are your dreams? And I was like, I don't really have dreams. And that was like how disconnected I was from what God had for me. And so I was like, okay, God, like, what are the dreams you've put in my heart? And I'm not going to be held back by like not having a husband, and was like so passionate about this mindset of like, I don't need a guy to accomplish what God has for me. And I like started with my first business. I was like making crafts and like selling them online, and then got into like finding like different, like in California, there's a lot of palm trees. So palm trees, and then selling them to florists. And this process of entrepreneurship really taught me to rely on God in a brand new way. And I didn't have that husband that was working, and we didn't have a dual income, but man, God came through for me like so much. And I had to just kind of reach this point where I was like, no more fear. I'm done. Anything that I'm scared about, we're running towards, you know, like whether that be control in life or starting that business. And so I was really, really intentional about being like, I want to like just eradicate fear anywhere in my life. And it's just been so cool to see the fruit. And I could keep going on and on about that, but I guess that is the roundabout way of answering your question of like, was there a moment? And I think after my breakup, I was just sick of being sad about like, oh, my dreams are over now. And I was like, there's no way a good God, like, what about people who never get married? Like, certainly God has good plans for them. And so it just, I was like, you know, we're just going to move forward today with what God has for me.
Because it's almost like you're laying all your hope in this one thing of getting married and like finding a spouse. And that's where, you know, so many people, they put their hope there. And as I say, you know, even idolizing a godly marriage is still an idol. Yeah. And so when your hope is in finding a spouse, you know, finding a husband, finding a wife, like, you're not laying your hope in Christ. And that's what can really muddy the waters and make it really difficult and put an unprecedented amount of pressure on a relationship.
Yes. And I think that a lot of times we don't even know we're doing this as Christians. Like, I didn't. I would certainly be like, I wasn't like, I need to get married, but it was just this really subconscious thing that I had on marriage. And it's just, I think, a lot of conditioning growing up through the church and not really speaking, I guess, to the individuals of like, yes, God will have a good plan for you if you're married, but also like, God actually has like really big dreams for you and like has put dreams in your heart for a reason. Like, that's why you want to do certain things. And that was just huge for me, because I think a lot of like Christian conservative circles, which I would say I really align with a lot of that. But even with what comes up for me is like this swing more towards like femininity, which I think is wonderful. And like, you know, like women, we want to stay home with the kids. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do that too. But it almost, for me, almost shifted into this as like, this was like my only purpose in life of like, it is something that I want really bad, but where I see value is also encouraging women and being like, actually God, like, cause my only dream was to be a wife and a mother. And that's a wonderful dream. But I also like want to encourage women of like, actually, I personally think God has more for you, because even having kids, that's 18 years and you're supposed to live what, like 80 to 100 years. Like, that's not your sole purpose in life, to be a wife and a mother. And it's a very good one. And while your kids are kids, you know, that is your soul, like your primary purpose. But like, God has also given you giftings and abilities and like tools that to like have other passions outside of that. And I think it can get like, we have to be careful not to also idolize those ones and being like, put your career in front of your husband and kids, you know. But I think it could also swing to this side where I've even heard from my friends, and they're like, oh, I only had a husband, I wouldn't have to work and I wouldn't have to like do all this. And I'm like, no, like that literally got me right in my position that I was in, where I was like, this has to work, because what else am I living for if it's not to be a wife and a mother, you know? And being like, no, like God for sure has huge things for you that are past just like passions that he's put in your heart, not just to be a wife and a mom.
So with kind of seeing maybe other people walk through online dating, helping maybe coach people, what have you seen being maybe, I know we've talked about hope. Do you see hope being one of the crucial things that people struggle with? Because I know personally that's something where I think, you know, we're touching on it right now. Hope is so much intertwined with your people's desire for relationship and their future and all that. How have you seen that play out in people, in your own life, and people you've coached? And what have you really, I guess, what are your thoughts on that? What have you seen maybe work for people to maybe realign their hope with something that's not just a relationship?
Yeah. Oh, I love that you asked that question, because that is honestly one of the most, the pivotal things that I realize is hope and not partnering with hopelessness, because faith, hope, and love, right? Like, we are like, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be disappointed. But I personally think, as like a Christian, like, you know, just like God gives us joy, like God gives us hope. And there should never be a time that we align and partner with hopelessness, because we always have a hope. Like, Jesus is our hope. So there should, so like, and I always say to singles, like, fight for your hope, like fight for hope. Don't let yourself get to this place of hopelessness with anything ever in life, because God always has a good plan for us. Like, you know, even if we're like, you know, on our deathbed starving, like there's always some, or like dying, like there's always something to have hope in. And so I found that that's a huge thing, is this, I think the spirit of hopelessness really gets on singles especially. And I say, like, yeah, you really need to be watching your thoughts and watching your self-talk of like not allowing yourself to slip into that. And so that's a huge thing, that even if it's like, you know, there's no guarantee we're going to get married, of course, and for singles, but mm-hmm. having hope of like, my life isn't going to suck if I don't ever get married, you know, like God still has good things for me. And it, like, it's a battle for me too. Like, some seasons more than others, where I can feel mm-hmm. myself on that verge, and I'm hearing those voices. I'm hearing that, you know, it's from the enemy, really, of being like, you're going to be alone, or your life isn't going to be as good. You're not going to be happy. You know, those are like just the lies. And I think that it's one where it's like really taking those thoughts captive, making them obedient to Christ, and being like, actually, it doesn't align with God's word, being hopeless. So no, I reject that. Be gone in Jesus' name, hopelessness. There's no place for you here in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, I do have a hope, and it's in Jesus. And God has a good plan for me, has good works for me to walk in. In Ephesians, it talks about that. So I'm going to say no, absolutely not. And I'm going to divert my attention somewhere else, call a friend, do something. And so I just love that you bring up the concept of hope, because at the end of the day, like, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Like, that's just, it's true. Like, hope is also dangerous, because if your hope doesn't come true, like, you can feel so disappointed, makes your heart sick, you know. But I think that's also the process of having faith in God. And I think our emotions, like, it's important to stay awake and alive to our emotions, even if it means I might be disappointed. Because the Christian life isn't about not being disappointed. It's about being with God. That's what everything is unto. Unto our relationship with Jesus. Unto our relationship with God. And God isn't going to leave us. You know, he's blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, like, it's, you know, we want to guard our heart and be wise in the way we walk forward. But at the end of the day, like, we need to keep our hope, because that's what keeps us alive and experiencing the abundant full life that God has for us.
That's awesome. Yeah, hope is, I think recently I've been even thinking, in a sense, like, hope is a terrible thing in a good and bad way. Mm-hmm. Like, it has this capacity mm-hmm. for so much, like, you look at the word, like, terrible, right? And it has such a negative connotation. But it's, I think it's this level of capacity of great, like, it's like a neutral thing. It can be, like, terribly good or terribly bad. And, like, hopelessness and hope. That right there is, I think, what a lot of people teeter on in singleness and in relationships and pursuing it, is once they lose that, or once they lose sight of it, then desperation sets in, then all these things. And I think you see that as people get older, is they lose hope, and then everything comes crashing down. And you have to fight for it. I love what you said with the spirit of hopelessness, to not partner with it, to not make that something in your life. Because once you start doing that, you really lose this, like, the life that you need to live with every day. And I think it's so hard, because we just want people to try harder, to do things, which is part of it. But if you don't have that hope, you're going to be doing everything out of an unhealthy position. But again, what is hope? It's such a thing. It's like, well, what does it mean to hope? What does it mean? It's like, you really got to dive into yourself personally and see where your hope is stored, where it's been broken, where it's been lost.
Yeah.
But man, you really got to dive deep to find that, because hope is it's deep. It's not like a surface level thing.
Mm-hmm.
So being in San Diego, you know, I have friends that are in LA, and the dating field is really a tough one to navigate out there. And so mm-hmm. being in San Diego, like, what is it, what does the dating field look like? And how do you navigate through all of that? Do you feel like there's hope living in San Diego and Southern California, finding yeah. somebody that is Christ-centered and, mm-hmm. you know, well-grounded?
Yeah, it's a great question. And yes, yes, absolutely. Yes. I want to say resounding. Yes. There's so much hope. I think personally that people, they speak from their own experience, right? If you found your husband in Alabama, the dating scene in Alabama is great. You know, if you find your wife in Texas, the Texas scene is great. You haven't found yet. Dating sucks in Texas. Dating sucks in Alabama. You know, like, it really comes down to, like, have you found your person or not, in mm-hmm. my opinion. And I mean, like I said, I've been on over 70 dates, and a lot of those were really wonderful, wonderful men and God-fearing men too. They weren't my guy. Mm-hmm. I've been in a few relationships since, like, my adult, you know, life, and found them right here in Southern California. I definitely think so much of it is, like, a mindset, and something that I coach people with online dating, because mm-hmm. that's kind of my, I would say, more of like a specialty of mine, of that, like, people are like, oh, I couldn't find anybody online, or I'm not finding anybody, you know, even here in Southern California. It's that people are, they're coming in, they're moving out, they're in and out all the time. You have to play the long game of, like, okay, so for one weekend you went out and you didn't find anybody. That doesn't mean that you met every single person in this state of California, in Southern California. And it doesn't mean that, like, there's not somebody who could move here tomorrow. You know, you just don't know. And as far as, you know, Southern California in particular, something that I was shocked about when I moved to San Diego is that San Diego is kind of like a Christian bubble in Orange County too. It's wow. actually a very, like, conservative Christian area. I've never had as many, just to be honest, like, conservative Christian friends as when I lived in San Diego. Wow. And when I grew up in Arizona, I was like one of the only Christians in my high school. And obviously living in Australia and New Zealand, it's very secular. I went to school at University of Arizona, very secular. Here it's like, I drove down to San Diego and there's, like, he is greater than I stickers and, like, I am second. I was like, where am I in California right now? Like, this is crazy. And the other day I was getting ice cream somewhere and she's like, this lady starts talking. I go to this church and I'm like, what? Like, this, I don't know. I think it's, I mean, think about it, like, in Southern California, that's where all these revivals started happening. Like, revival is, yeah. I mean, revival is happening right now in Southern California, and it gives me goosebumps. And obviously, like, LA and North, I think that's where you get more of, like, your stereotypical, like, California, you know, being super secular and whatnot. But
yeah,
I think that I have a ton of great guy friends who are Christian, who are single, a lot of girlfriends who are godly and single too. And so I would say it's like, you got to believe for it. And if people are like, well, like, maybe you're making something up in your head, I'm like, well, would you rather partner with hopelessness and be like, yeah, there's nobody here.
Yeah.
Period. I'm never going to find somebody. Then it's like, that's your only other option. Or if it's true that there's really nobody in your state or your city, well, would you consider moving? Like, I know for me personally, where I did not stay with my parents back in Phoenix, especially where they were at, in, like, Ahwatukee, that's like a very family area. And I was like, I'm never going to find anybody here. I'm not going to find friends here. Like, I'm the only, like, everything's family. And so I picked up and I moved to a place that there's a lot of young people. It was a city. And I find that a ton of people are like, I don't want to move. I don't want to leave. And while I think you should consult God, of course, but I'm also like, are you willing to give up something? Like, maybe your comfort or your, yeah, like get out of your comfort zone a little bit to potentially make a change in your life. And I'm in the best community of my life I've ever had. And so I think that a lot of times people get stuck because they don't want to make any changes and they're scared, and come back to fear. Fear is the thing that drives a lot of things. So
yeah.
California is not hopeless.
Well, that's good to hear. That's really awesome. And also it comes down to, like, you know, the grass is greener where you water it. You know, you can't look pessimistically at where you are, mm-hmm. and you gotta see what there is around. And now, as far as seeing, you know, what there is in your environment around you. Now, if somebody is motivated towards trying online dating, you know, as we kind of mentioned, some people can kind of affiliate that with a sense of a lack of faith. Mm, and others, I've heard, they described it as a step of faith to try online dating. Now, how does a person navigate whether they're in a place where they should try online dating, or what would be some flags that maybe they shouldn't?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's a great, great question. Online dating is a bit of a minefield. It just is. I mean, it can put you for loops in your brain, you know, and it can be difficult for sure. And, you know, I've been there. Think about the pastor with, you know, that I got ghosted that I thought was going to be my husband, you know, because it's so easy to really fantasize when you're online dating, and you don't, there's just too much you don't know about the person that if you don't keep that in mind, your brain will fill in all the gaps that you don't know. And it's going to fill it in with everything that you think is perfect about, or that you hope this person would be. You can literally have an entire relationship with somebody in your head before you even meet them. And that's where then this reckoning comes with either they're perfect, you get married, great, or with most things happen, oh, there wasn't a connection, or oh, I like them, they didn't like me, vice versa. And then you're like, online dating sucks. I hate online dating. Like, it's just the worst thing, you know, or you get catfished or whatever. And so I always think like online dating is great. You just have to have the right expectations going into it. I mean, it's an amazing tool that you can have access to all these singles that you wouldn't otherwise really meet. And they could even say if they're a Christian or not. And I'm like, you just need to look at it as the tool that it actually is. And don't expect that it's this like relationship incubator. It's not. It's literally a meeting point. That's it. It's just a way to meet somebody. And where, you know, I hear a lot of people saying like, oh, it's just not like my thing. I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to meet somebody that way. I'm like, well, there's really nothing different of meeting somebody. That doesn't determine your love story. It just is literally like a blip. Like, that's just how you met them. And you need to remember that like, okay, like anything can happen to this person. They don't owe me anything. They could literally like stand me up, but hey, that's online dating. You know, like there's just very low barrier to entry. And so there's almost no skin in the game. And so unfortunately people will ghost, but if you just expect like that is going to happen to me at some point, then you can like appreciate it for the tool that it is. And I always say people say, even with like putting yourself out there with dating, but let's say online dating, for example, they're like, I just feel like that's like not having faith in who like God would bring to me. And I go, okay, well then why are you putting why do you have a LinkedIn? Why do you put resumes out? Like, what? Like, do you not have any faith in God that he's going to bring you a job? Like, it's so similar to that, I think, as well. And, you know, same with like maybe even going to church to be like, I want to be intentional about finding somebody at church. And it's like, they're like, no, that's wrong. I'm like, well, is it wrong to go to church to find a friend, to find community? Like, people like to associate this like wrongness with if it's dating, and they forget that God says like, that marriage is good, and that like it's good to find somebody, and he who finds a wife is finds a good thing. So why would you limit yourself in the way that you do it? And in my opinion, I think somebody who shouldn't be online dating, like, I get taking a break if you like have gotten overwhelmed, but you really just have to re-look at the way that, like if you expect like adult level maturity from a child, you are going to be disappointed over and over. You're never going to be happy if you're like are expecting a child to show up for you in a way that an adult should, you know. But if you expect them to show up the way a child's going to expect up, you can enjoy them, and you can be like, oh yeah, they like had a little accident, like that's par for the course for a child, you know. Yeah. And I think that's the same with dating apps. You have to just use them the way they've been intended to be used.
Yeah, and I've heard people say that the trouble with online dating is that it's option overload. And so people will continually look for the right person. And so how do you counter that when it comes to that belief about online dating? Cause I'm generally curious. I've heard people very boldly proclaiming that against online dating, and I'm not against online dating at all. But I'm very pro taking actionable steps, you know, living your best life, getting out and experiencing what God wants for you, and meeting people in all different ways. And so, but when it comes to that belief of the having too many options and how people will quickly write others off. You know, what's your take on that?
Yeah. Well, I would push back on that if somebody said that to you. And I'd say, well, do you ever struggle with that, like, in real life? This option of like, oh, I don't know, maybe there's somebody better out there. It's not going to, kind of like people say with marriage, like marriage is going to reveal things that have already been there. It's not like marriage creates all these problems. It just reveals the problems that have already been there. It maybe exasperates it. But I would say the same thing. Like I, with, you know, my personal bent, like the way God's created me, I've never particularly been one that's like, oh, maybe there's a different, better person. Believe me, I have lots of issues on other areas. But so that's never been something that's come up for me with online dating, because that's never been something that, like, just people in general, like when dating somebody, hasn't, that type of thought hasn't really crossed my mind. But I do know that that is common for a lot of people. And I would say, mm-hmm. like, then you just have an issue of, like, contentment or decision-making. It's not online dating that's the issue. It's your heart that's the issue, really. And it maybe, praise God, that online dating is now exposing it a little bit more. So let's dig into that deeper. Mm-hmm. Like, I think people, one of my big philosophies on dating in general is that dating is going to trigger you in ways that, like, only dating will, and a romantic relationship, especially the beginning uncertainty parts, because, I mean, it's different than just a friendship, because it's way higher stakes than friendship, even if you don't want to make high stakes at first, you know, and you don't even have the commitment of a boyfriend, girlfriend, or the covenant of a relationship. You literally have no idea what this person thinks about you. So you really need to be very secure in who you are and knowing God has a good plan for me. And if it's going to be this person, it'll be this person. And it's like, why don't you use that trigger that comes up, that rejection, or that, you know, maybe when it comes to, was there a better option out there? I would say you're probably believing the lie that, like, that, yeah, there is a better person out there, or maybe there's more, instead of believing that, like, God is going to bring you what you need in the moment that you need it. And that, like, he does have good things for you, and you're just believing that, like, he's holding out on you. So that's why you need to know, well, are there other better things out there? You know, like, I don't know, it's gonna be different for each person. So I think by pointing to online dating apps as the evil thing, you're really just circumnavigating your own heart that has the issue.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you mentioned you do a lot of, like, the online mixers and in-person mixers, you know, I mean, how do, how can people find out more about the mixers that you do? How often do you do them? Where do they take place? How do they find that?
Yeah. So right now as far as in-person mixers, we're currently kind of discussing that a little bit more of where we want to take that. Mm-hmm. But we definitely still do in-person mixers in California, so San Diego and Orange County. Now, I am trying now to, I've created this model now of doing these mm-hmm. in-person mixers, and it works really well. It's pretty easy to do. And I'm thinking to myself, if I don't share this with the church or share with somebody it's going to outlive myself, like outlive me, it's going to stop when I get married and have kids. I'm not going to keep running mixers. So my big vision mm-hmm. is to equip churches to do this. They're the machine that's going to be able to keep this really going and helping Christian singles meet one another. And so what I really want now is to start equipping churches to do their own mixers, to reach out to other churches in their area to, you know, run these. So it's less of me doing it at this point, and I'm trying to get church leaders on board to collaborate with other church leaders in their city and run their own mixers. And I'm like, I want to equip you. I want to tell you exactly how to do it, how many volunteers you need, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a lot of, like, the listeners, you know, your podcast and people that my audience, of talking to their leaders and being like, hey, like, casting vision for it, asking them to get in contact with me. So that's what, as far as the mixers are going, that's what I'm really leaning towards. And then also using my platform with IYK, we have like almost 8,000 followers, and really like helping to promote other churches, singles ministries, and being kind of mm-hmm. like a hub for them. So I'm always like trying to encourage, like, hey, tag us in something that you're doing, and we'll repost it so that everyone who's following us can get plugged into the local church and get involved with like the singles things going on. But I really took at the end of last year a pivot towards coaching, because that's where a lot of my like giftings and passions for helping people and kind of this like identity stuff, things that we're talking about that I have lived it. And I want to really empower other singles to not partner with hopelessness, to, you know, to be confident, to learn how to flirt, how to, you know, be approachable. And, yeah. So yeah, I do online dating workshops. So I help women learn how to use the tool of online dating in a way that they're not going to get burned out, because it's about mindset a lot. And then also just practical tools. And then I also have a group coaching program that's 3 months long. I call it Get Locked Down Foundations. So the foundations that you need to know to be in a healthy relationship and attract a healthy guy. And those are like the main things that I'm focusing on now.
Awesome. That's some really exciting stuff. I just love what you have going on and really appreciate you joining us for this episode. But yeah, before we wrap it up, could we get a favorite verse or a verse that has been on your heart lately that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, definitely. So Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness and all else will follow. That's been my key verse for dating, for business, but I just think it's so important, especially with dating too, to focus on like, hey, God's got this. We just need to focus on honoring the person in front of us. You know, worry about us, worry about the kingdom. You know, how am I becoming more like the person that God's called me to be? And really, truly, like everything else will follow. Reject fear, seek the kingdom, and everything else is going to follow.
All right. Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you so much for sharing. And where can people find you on social media?
So it's IYKYK and then a period, mm-hmm. dating. And that's same for TikTok as well. And DM me, I'm really active on there. And so, yeah, follow us.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I really enjoyed this conversation. I really appreciate you joining us for this, and look forward to just kind of, you know, communicating with you in the future and seeing how we can help each other in ministry.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on, you guys. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So everybody out there, be sure to like, subscribe, find us on Instagram, each us and IYK Dating, and be sure to get out there and seize the day. Maximize every chapter in your life. We'll see you next episode.